Last summer, a letter came into Mark Weinberg's law office.
I don't know which is the first letter. This was from August the 8th.
It was from a man in a downstate prison. As a civil rights attorney, Weinberg gets a lot of letters from inmates.
Oh yeah, this is the first one.
The inmate laid out how the Illinois Department of Corrections was still holding him in prison even though he'd served his entire sentence.
Our response was, he can't be right. This is not believable. And then, of course, we found out that it's all too believable and is actually occurring.
As Weinberg started looking into it, he found thousands of men are being held in Illinois prisons long past the end of their sentences, which is costing the state tens of millions of dollars a year. Those men are facing the rest of their lives in prison, even though no judge ever gave them that sentence. And this isn't a secret. Legislators know about it, the Department of Corrections knows about it, but no one's doing anything. Probably because the men who find themselves in this situation, they're sex offenders. I'm reporter Max Green. I began looking into this after hearing about a lawsuit Weinberg filed on behalf of those men. I went down to Taylorville State Prison, about 3.5 hours south of Chicago, where I met with a couple of the men who had written letters to Weinberg.
My name is J.D. Lindenmeyer. I'm 35 years old.
Lindenmeyer was arrested in 2005 and pleaded guilty to predatory criminal sexual assault charges. He was 23.
The original sentence broke down to roughly like 5 years and a month.
And how long have you been in here?
Hit 11 years, June the 12th.
He was supposed to be released in the summer of 2011, 6 years ago. Leading up to that date, he had planned to go to his mom's house, but his sister was still a minor.
16 years old when I was originally supposed to get out, so I couldn't go there.
So he tried two other places. First, his then-girlfriend's home, which was denied because she was too close to a daycare. Then the home of a friend. That was denied because Lindenmeyer wouldn't have his own bedroom, a legal requirement for some sex offenders.
Once I wasn't let go, I signed a piece of paper that basically says they gave me the opportunity to leave and I couldn't find suitable housing, so I sit for until I find suitable housing.
He kept trying. Lindenmeyer submitted his dad's address, but that was too close to a bike path. The home of his other sister was denied because she has young children. He even submitted his mom's boyfriend's home, but that was denied because he had a computer and was too close to a school.
My family isn't very well off financially, so they couldn't just afford to go out and get a place that they knew I'd be able to go to.
Lindenmeyer says he's been told he can't live anywhere that has guns, alcohol, or internet access. He can't even be in the same residence as a smartphone, computer, laptop, or smart TV. There can only be basic cable. And according to his attorneys, there are a lot of small stipulations often given to people with similar convictions, like there must be a landline. There can't be any pictures of kids in the house. There can be no aggressive dogs on the premises. There can be no minors living at the same address, which would put most apartment complexes and trailer parks off limits. The law requires that offenders reside only at locations approved by the Department of Corrections, giving IDOC immense discretion. Despite numerous requests over months, the department refused to discuss any of these prohibitions or the issues they raise. When Lindenmeyer's younger sister turned 18, his mother, Denise, says he submitted their address for approval one more time.
And they said he couldn't come because of the internet. But my daughter was in school, and she had to have the internet. So I basically had to choose between my two kids.
Denise says even out-of-state family have offered their homes, but the Department of Corrections won't allow her son to leave Illinois.
I don't know what else I could possibly do. I've tried to do everything, so has everybody else.
Denise is on disability and has a fixed income. She says the family doesn't have much money, and her son's extended incarceration has cost them thousands, putting money into his commissary account and making the trips to prison, which she says they can afford to do only once a year.
It's just been a never-ending nightmare for me. I'm to the point now where, you know, I've been waiting for a miracle, and it's not going to come. And I'm just really starting to ask myself, is he going to be in there my whole life?
Picture a map of Illinois. there are nearly 5,000 elementary and high schools across the state. Drop 5,000 pins on that map, one for each. Drop 10,000 more pins, one for each of the daycare centers registered in Illinois. Drop 330 more in Chicagoland alone for each of the city's public parks. Drop hundreds more for movie theaters, libraries, malls, and anywhere else it could be argued that minors congregate. Quickly, the spaces on a map where someone like Lyndon Meyer can go disappear.
I have been contacted by a number of families who are just looking for some relief and some stability so that they can move on with their lives, and it's hard to give them hope.
Elaine Nekritz was an Illinois state representative for 15 years before retiring in September.
To my mind, this is just, the law is completely unjust when it comes to the impacts on those families.
Nekritz says one of the major reasons things have ended up this way is legislators get political points for being tough on sex offenders. She says many of the measures were put into place with good intentions, keeping communities safe from dangerous offenders while they ease into life outside of prison. But even when proposed laws and regulations don't make sense or burden taxpayers or contradict the idea of meaningful rehabilitation, she says they still almost always pass.
They would just sail through because there was no objection to them. But as it turns out, as I've now learned, many of them are conflicting with each other. They're cumbersome and almost impossible for someone who's on the sex offender registry to comply with.
That's why Lyndon Meyer and the others are suing. And it's why attorney Adele Nicholas, along with Mark Weinberg, who received that first letter, decided to take their case.
This is not about whether the crime is excusable, and it's not about whether these people should be criminally charged, criminally tried, and criminally sentenced. That has happened.
What it is about, Nicholas says, is whether the correctional system in Illinois is functioning properly and fairly.
Our clients have served their criminal sentences. They are not seeking to undermine the sentences that have been imposed by the judge. What is happening here is not what was imposed by the criminal judge. Our clients are serving time that they were never sentenced to.
Clients like J.D. Lyndon Meyer from the beginning of this story. Lyndon Meyer's 6-year sentence has stretched into 11 and a half years and counting, and there's no mechanism to release him. Despite multiple requests for the data, the Illinois Department of Corrections says it doesn't even track the number of people it's holding beyond their sentences. But the department admits it could be in the thousands. And based on figures from the department, that adds up to tens of millions of taxpayer dollars a year to house inmates who shouldn't be in prison. The Illinois Department of Corrections and the State Attorney General's Office refused multiple requests for comment about the existence of this situation and the lawsuit, citing pending litigation. Yet, IDOC has been trying to have the case dismissed. In the most recent hearing, that motion was denied. In her decision, Judge Virginia Kendall wrote, quote, "There is no particularly convincing reason for individuals such as J.D. Lyndon Meyer to continue to sit in prison on the taxpayer's dime." I'm Max Green.